this is your Polycast for Thursday, January 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some Minnesotans have high expectations for President Donald Trump. Others have deep concerns. As the nation gets ready to swear in a new president, Minnesotans are preparing for the next 4 years. Minnesota didn't go for President-elect Donald Trump, but many of its rural counties did. We begin our coverage with John Enger, who talked to Trump supporters in the northern part of the state.
Before the election, there was no mystery about how Bill Batchelder planned to vote. He put up a semi-truck-sized banner on a piece of land right by the Bemidji Airport. It was the largest pro-Trump sign in 50 miles.
You're driving 60, 70 miles an hour on the road. Just put Trump, make America great again, that people get the message.
Batchelder runs the Bemidji Woolen Mills Company. As cap knitting machines ran on the factory floor, Batchelder explained his sign was hardly alone.
Have you been on Highway 2 between Duluth and Grand Forks? There, you can count the Hillary Clinton signs on one hand. There's hundreds of Trump signs.
Now, after the election, Batchelder says he's still surprised by Trump's national win. But he's optimistic and explains what the new administration means to him.
Just the American spirit. Just work a little bit harder for your country. You got duty to family, you got duty to country, and you got duty to your job.
He hopes Trump will build up immigration law, if not an actual wall. And he hopes he'll cut taxes and regulations on small businesses. Mainly, though, he's hoping Trump will make health insurance more affordable for him and a handful of his most senior employees.
I am walking on egg crate right now because our plan lapsed on December 31st. I'm waiting to see what happens, so I'm holding my hand saying a prayer that something's going to happen.
Beltrami, Coochiching, and Itasca counties all supported President Obama 4 years ago. This time, those three counties all swung for Trump by wide margins. Former Beltrami County Commissioner Joe Venny says it's not really a shift at all. Venny's a lifelong independent. He supported President Barack Obama last time around. He said he wanted change. In November, he voted for Trump for the same reason. He says that's what the whole region voted for.
They're looking for change, though they may not necessarily know what that change will materialize as.
When Venny voted for Obama, rural northern Minnesota was lagging far behind the rest of the state economy. Unemployment in Beltrami County was nearing 8%. Itasca reached 10%. During the Obama years, the local economy did improve. Beltrami County is under 5% unemployment, and state economists say more rural Minnesotans are entering the middle class. But it's not improving fast enough for voters, and not for everyone, Venny says. The area has lost 30% of its manufacturing base in the last decade.
What would Trump do in the first 4 years? He would energize business and industry. He would deliver on bringing business and industry back to the United States from abroad.
Venny was disappointed by the change the last administration brought. So was Rod Anderson, a Bemidji butcher who still runs a small shop at age 76. He emerged from a room-sized refrigerator. It hummed as he talked about his political disappointments. Whoever he votes for, he says his taxes stay high.
Before I got into business for myself, I was a Democrat. And then I get into business and I find out the Democrats are trying to make the business people pay all the taxes.
Anderson had a bout with stomach cancer 17 years ago. Ever since, getting health insurance has been expensive and confusing.
I think people should buy their own stuff and take care of themselves.
He voted for Trump, but he almost didn't live to see the inauguration. A few weeks ago, Anderson had a brain bleed. Surgeons in Fargo had to drill two holes in his skull to relieve the pressure, a procedure he says will cost him thousands. Anderson's hopes are high for Trump. He hopes this time things will get better. John Enger, Minnesota Public Radio News, Bemidji.
A lot of people who didn't back Donald Trump for president are also preparing for the inauguration. Some will protest, others will pray. Laura Ewan has that part of the story.
At the Minneapolis Convention Center, where thousands gathered this week to celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
That's where I found Mary Merrill. The 67-year-old Minneapolis native worries that Trump's administration won't concern themselves with the interests of folks who look like her, women, African-Americans, or other people of color. But her fears don't end there.
I'm worried about our environment, and what does that mean? I'm worried about world peace. I'm scared of the bomb.
But now, she says, it's time to get to work. That includes talking to people who supported Trump.
Because I think that this election of Donald Trump says a lot more about us as a country, us as a people. So I think we need to have a dialogue with each other, reacquaint ourselves as Americans.
Along a picturesque stretch of Minnehaha Creek, Rabbi Michael Latz is in his office at Shir Tikva Congregation. He's getting ready for a Shabbat service tomorrow night.
It's not an anti-Trump service by any stretch of the imagination.
But Latz does call it an act of faithful resistance, and one that will draw heavily from this week's Torah reading. Jews around the world will read the beginning of the book of Exodus. It details the suffering of Israelites under a new ruler in Egypt.
It's a story about how we as moral people face leaders who don't honor human dignity. And sadly, for the first time in my lifetime, I believe we have a president who has, or a president-elect, he will be president on Friday, who traffics in bigotry and indecency. And we as people of faith have to address that.
Latz says he worries how repealing Obamacare will affect the sick and uninsured, and what Trump's rhetoric will mean for the rights of transgender people and immigrants. Others are joining in on the so-called resistance movement, and they see Trump's rise as a way to galvanize voters and political activists.
So I organize house parties, political education house parties.
22-year-old Sharanthi Guthanilika is with Neighborhoods Organizing for Change in North Minneapolis. She's planning about 20 house parties to be held on a single night next month. She says the partygoers will discuss what Trump's term will mean for people who suddenly feel on the margins.
For a lot of folks that didn't see themselves on the front line of any social justice movement, Trump now, as our president, is showing them that they are at risk for just being who they are, right? Whether that's your gender, your ethnicity, your race.
At his home in St. Paul, James Cross says he's trying to keep an open mind about the new president. Cross says he's been praying a lot lately, that Trump's divisive rhetoric on the campaign trail was not genuine.
So I'm just hoping that it's not in him. You know, I'm hoping that his creator will open his eyes and open his heart to be peaceful and understand that America needs a good leader, not somebody that's putting everybody down.
But that won't stop Cross from marching tomorrow afternoon in Minneapolis in a massive Inauguration Day protest. It'll start at Lake Street and Nicollet Avenue and end at City Hall. And on Saturday, organizers of a women's march to the state capitol in St. Paul are expecting 20,000 demonstrators. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Developers of affordable housing say they're already feeling the impact of Donald Trump's presidency. Uncertainty about his corporate tax policies has nearly scuttled a key financing mechanism for new developments. Catherine Richard reports.
Even in the dead of winter, the construction zone for some affordable housing in downtown Rochester is alive with hammers, nail guns, and some music that's a reminder of warmer months.
Keep hammering.
According to the state's housing finance agency, buildings with affordable housing like this one are in high demand and in short supply across the state. These one- and two-bedroom units will be rented at below market rates to people who meet strict income requirements. Building developer Joe Wise said he'll be able to charge lower rents in the new place because of a common subsidy. The state awarded him a tax credit just for building apartments. He then sold the tax credit to investors who use it to reduce their tax bill. With the extra cash, Wise was able to borrow less for construction and keep down rents. This is pretty standard stuff, but Wise says investors are acting differently now.
When they realized that Trump was president and is talking about reducing the corporate tax rate, that really put a big curtain on the value of those credits.
Wise had tax credits to sell for the next project he's building, but they commanded a much lower price. With less cash in hand, he needs a bigger mortgage to finance the building. Northern Minnesota rental property manager Skip Duchesneau said the plummeting value of the tax credits represents a huge change for the industry.
In any year besides this year, you would get awarded tax credits, and the next day you would have half a dozen tax credit syndicators calling you, you know, can we bid on your project? Can we buy your credits?
Now the president of D.W. Jones doesn't know if he's got a buyer for the credits he's selling to help finance a senior affordable housing project in Mora.
Right now I have a maybe.
The tumult in the market for affordable housing tax credits is nationwide. Michael Novogradek is a managing partner of San Francisco-based public housing and valuation firm Novogradek & Company.
You know, the biggest issue is that it was so abrupt. I think most folks didn't expect Donald Trump to win. So most folks thought the chances of corporate tax rates actually coming down weren't that great. And if they did, they wouldn't come down that dramatically.
With the Trump administration expected to provide massive corporate tax relief for free, the low-income housing tax credits are much less attractive to investors. Depending on the shape of the final tax plan, Novogradek says the amount of cash coming from investors to affordable housing projects could drop as much as 17%, or well north of $1 billion based on past years. Trump is proposing to lower the top corporate tax rate to 15% from 35%, while a recent tax blueprint from Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives pegs it at 20%. Until there's clarity on the tax side, Novogradek says the implications for affordable housing are clear.
So I think we have this interim new normal, which ultimately means less affordable housing gets built.
Developer Skip Duchesneau is plowing ahead, though. He's assuming he'll be able to sell the tax credits for his Mora senior housing once Congress and Trump hash out a tax deal. But he says it will be a terrible setback if the cash value for his tax credits is still up in the air this summer. Catherine Richard, Minnesota Public Radio News in Rochester.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.